As a parent, how many times a week, or how many times a day for that matter, are you using your authority to direct or correct your children? Paul David Tripp says, when you're using authority, there's something you've got to keep in mind.
I want to be able to walk down the hallway after an authority encounter and say, my children say, that man loves me. That man would never turn his back on me. That man has actually forgiven me, even though there are consequences to what I've done, because I'm now representing the authority of the one that child actually needs at some point to submit to.
This is Family Life Today. Our host is Dennis Rainey, and I'm Bob Lapine. How would your parenting look different if it was modeled after the way God parents you? We'll talk more about that today with our guest, Paul David Tripp. Stay with us. Welcome to Family Life Today. Thanks for joining us.
Bob, I got a question for you.
Yes.
I got a question.
All right.
How many broadcasts do you think we've done here together? 6,000 or so?
More than that, maybe.
And a bunch of them have been on marriage, and a number of them have been on raising children.
Right.
How many have we ever had that have been with a guest who named their book Parenting?
I think this is the first book called just Parenting that we've ever come across. That's all it's called is Parenting.
Thousands. It's not clear what this book is all about. Paul David Tripp joins us again on Family Life Today. Welcome back. In spite of our insults, you keep coming back.
I don't know. Masochism lives.
I think it does. It's subtitled 14 Gospel Principles That Can Radically Change Your Life. And I do love simplicity, Paul David. In fact, you and your wife, Luella, raised four children together, and you've pastored for a number of years. You've spoken all over the world. You've interacted with tens of thousands of people in various settings. What do you see happening today with parents, this next generation of parents? As you look at their faces, what do you think's happening?
Well, a couple things. One is, I think that we have a culture that is very pervasive and very influential that doesn't see authority in any way as a good thing. I just read an article where the mom was suggesting that what we would normally have thought of as discipline moments are moments of negotiation. Teach your children how to negotiate,
Wow. How
to compromise, how to arrive at mutual solutions. How is that ever going to work in the world out there? I can't negotiate traffic laws. I can't negotiate when my boss has told me to do something. My teacher's not going to negotiate how to run the classroom with me. It's just craziness. So I think that creates lots of confusion. There's another thing going on. I think there's a greater awareness of the gospel. Not salvation past and salvation future, but the present benefits of Christ's work in the here and now, and how that changes the way I think about family, that young people are buying into that I didn't know till 40. And that really encourages me. I wrote the book because I think often young families are looking for the key. They're reading books looking for what are the three or four things that I can do that's going to forever change my children. And what you end up with is asking the law to do what only grace can accomplish. And I want to use a metaphor with you that is a little bit gross, but it's really what this book is about. Sigmund Freud had a disciple. His name was Alfred Adler. And he was a therapist, and someone once asked Adler, when he's dealing with dysfunctional people, what was he trying to do? And he said, without hesitation, I try to spit in their soup. Now, that's a gross metaphor. What it means is, if someone spits in your soup, you can't go back to it again. He said, I want people to see what's going on, and they look at it and say, I don't want to do that anymore. In a positive way, what I want to do with this book is hold out such a compelling vision of what parenting is in the hands of God, that parents say, I don't want to do what I've been doing before. This is what I want to do. This is what I want to be part of.
And it's too bad that Barbara's not here to set up this next question, because this is something she has been pounding the table about here recently with our listeners around 2 Corinthians chapter 5, about how we are called to be ambassadors and what she is all about. She is wanting to help moms and dads recapture the concept that not only are they ambassadors, but that their home is to be an embassy.
Hmm.
It's to be a spot on the planet that is to represent heaven, where you're training the next generation of ambassadors to go forward. And I couldn't help but smile when I read your book. And Bob, he begins by talking about one of the problems with parents today is that they've got the wrong picture of what it means to be a parent. They need the big picture. And you went to the concept immediately, Paul David, of being an ambassador. Unpack what you mean by that.
There can only be two models of parenting. One is the ownership model. Whether you're conscious or not, that is, I own my life and I own my children. And my job is to get those children to do the things that I want them to do. Ultimately, that's about my happiness, my success, my reputation, my control.
And before you leave that, that's because that's the identity of the parent.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
We're talking about identity and authority here. And if you don't know who you are and whose you are, you're going to be approaching your children in the wrong way.
Yeah, we all should understand that if you're not getting your identity vertically, you're going to shop for it horizontally. And for a parent, the easiest place to get that is from your children. I just want to say for a moment, that's a horrible burden to lay on a child. A child has no capacity to carry the burden of my identity, my sense of well-being, my reason for getting up in the morning. So you have this ownership view of parenting. The contrast of that is parenting as an ambassador. It's a beautiful word picture. The only thing an ambassador ever does is represent. If I'm an ambassador of the United States in a foreign country, my job is to represent the purpose, the plan, the will of the leader who has sent me. That's parenting. Now, let me give you an example of that. That means, I'm going to just take one area, that I don't have any independent authority at all, none. These children belong to God. They were created to live under the authority of God. So I don't have the right to exercise authority any way I want to exercise it. If I'm called to be an ambassador, this makes me weak in the knees when I say this. Every time I exercise authority in the life of my children, it must be a beautiful picture of the authority of God. Now, why is that important? Because my children come into the world not loving authority. What they love is self-rule. And so I want, by the way that I exercise authority, to show them that authority doesn't end freedom. Authority gives freedom. Authority is a wisdom thing. It's a protective thing. It's a gracious thing. It's a loving thing. It's a faithful thing. And so growingly, they come to love authority rather than hate authority. Let me say one other thing. Those little fights that you have with a 4-year-old or a 3-year-old about what to eat or when to go to bed have nothing to do with the topic. Little Georgie hasn't read an Atkins diet book and has decided there's a certain way he likes to eat. Susie hasn't done a sleep study. It has nothing to do with the issue. Parents, you have to understand this. This is about authority. Mm. This child is saying to you, you will not rule me. Now, when that happens, you can respond to that as an owner and say, oh, yeah? Look at the size of me. Look at the size of you. And you right away make it a horizontal thing, and you say, I'll do personal war with you to bring you under my rule. Parents do that all the time. Christian parents do that, not knowing what they're doing. Or you can say, with a broken heart, here's another demonstration. that this one that I love is a rebel against the authority of God. And that rebellion inside of them, that desire to only be ruled by themselves, is their doom. How can I be part of the ambassador's desire to rescue that child from himself? That's what he needs. Because his child can run from me, can run from this location, can run from the situation, but this child can't run from himself. And the problem is that quest inside of his little sinful heart that I will be ruled by no one but me.
And your assignment as an ambassador is to represent the king.
Absolutely.
Who, in my life, the way he got through to me, he used the law to convince me that I was a sinner and that I need a savior. But his love was what turned my life around after I realized I was lost.
And exactly what the Bible says, it's the goodness of God that leads people to repentance. Mm-hmm. There it is. I want to be able to walk down the hallway after an authority encounter and say, my children say, that man loves me. That man would never turn his back on me. That man has actually forgiven me, even though there are consequences to what I've done, because I'm now representing the authority of the one that that child actually needs at some point to submit to.
You talk in your book about the fact that a lot of parents think the greatest threat to their children are the threats from outside of the child. And I was thinking back to the time when we were raising our kids and the cultural threats. And there are many of them that our kids are facing. And we did our best as parents to try to diligently protect our kids from those cultural threats invading their worldview, their thinking, their behavior. But you say what we've got to be alert to is that their biggest threat is actually inside of them. Mm. One of those threats is that they've got foolishness bound up in their heart. And a part of our job as parents is to drive it from them.
Yeah, you know, it would be just stupid to say that there aren't cultural toxins out there that can destroy a child's life. Of course there are. But here's what's important to remember. It's only ever the evil inside of me that connects me to the evil outside of me. Why are our children attracted to those things? Why is there in our children a love of the world, a distaste for authority, occasionally mocking the things of God that we hold dear? Why? That's not just cultural influence, but there's something inside of me that connects me to that. And parental monasticism doesn't work. Think of the medieval monastery. What was the problem with the monastery? It was the theology. There's an evil world out there, and the way to be pure is to separate yourself from the evil world. Well, we know from history that monasteries replicated every evil of the outside world.
Right.
What was the big mistake of the monasteries? Well, you know my answer. They let people in them. And people brought the
evil with them. Yeah.
See, if you don't have that, the greatest danger of my child is inside of him, not outside of him, then you're not interested in being a parent of grace because you don't think that's what he needs. What he needs is control. What he needs is protection. What he needs is behavior modification. But he doesn't need that grace of insight and that grace of conviction, that grace of forgiveness, that grace of transformation, because he's not his problem. And I think it is a beautiful moment when a child begins to get that. Mm. And says, Dad, it's me. And parents, when you hear me say that, fight the cynicism that's in your heart right now. Fight thinking, my 10-year-old will never say that. Believe in the power of the Spirit of God to turn the heart of a child and determine you want to be part of that turning.
I know what Barbara would be saying right now. She'd be going to the Gospels and she'd be quoting various passages that talk about nothing is impossible with God.
Mm.
And so I couldn't agree with you more. But it takes God to put it in the heart of a 10-year-old to ultimately admit what you're talking about. And what I want you to just comment on, because you said this earlier, a parent's assignment is filled with has to be thousands of encounters with children from birth all the way through adolescence where they don't get it. It is over and over and over again. And the repetition of teaching. I mean, it used to so wear on us around sibling rivalry. That's just one little piece of the broken human heart. We're tired of talking about, you need to ask for forgiveness. You need to admit you're wrong. You need to, you know, on and on and on it goes. You wear out as a parent. And so I'm glad you spoke to the cynicism in the heart of a parent, because I do think the enemy wants them to give up and take their hands off the plow, so to speak, and stop plowing the ground of the human heart, attempting to put the seeds of the scripture in the child's heart so the child can finally get it.
Absolutely. And I don't ever know when the winds of the Spirit are going to blow in the life of my child. And I want to look at those unplanned moments, moments that are in the way of what I want to accomplish, in the way of my schedule, in the way of my personal plans, not as another hassle to be survived, but the operation of grace. What is God doing? God is revealing the hearts of my children to me because He loves them, and He's in the process of redeeming them.
And as you said earlier, He may be revealing your own heart to you by the interruption, and maybe the whole interruption is more for your own sake of you processing God's forgiveness and grace.
Absolutely, because, again, everybody in the room is being parented. If you're parenting, you will see the heart of your children. Of course you will. The question is, when that happens, what will you do? Get angry? Get discouraged? Say, why bother? Read the law to them one more time? Put on your self-righteous robes and say, in my day I never would have thought of doing what you do? Or would you affirm that you're an ambassador? And you need God's help. And you right now don't feel like an ambassador. Your heart isn't filled with ambassadorial spirit. You just want it to end. How about saying that to your Heavenly Father? How about crying out? Saying, God, I don't have what it takes right now, but I want to represent you well.
Mm-hmm.
Meet me by your grace so I can have one more conversation with this child that gives him some insight, that helps him to begin to own what's inside of him, that helps him to begin to seek help, to cry out for your forgiveness, to cry out for your power. Help me to do that.
And then get in the book.
That's right.
Get in the Bible. I'm not talking about your book either, although they need to get in your book, Parenting, but they need to get in the Bible and feed their own soul. There's something about a parent whose life is being enriched and being brought near to who God is and being reminded of who they are that stands a better chance in this incredible assignment. It is both a phenomenal privilege to be a parent, but it is a tough assignment. I mean, if you love much, your heart will be broken much too.
And again, it means affirming that what's in the way of this process is not the heart of my child. It's my heart. And so I've got to nurture my heart with the promises of Scripture, the knowledge of the presence of God, the realization that God never sends me on a task without giving me what I need to do it. He never sends me without going with me. All those things that build the courage and the perseverance of your heart, I need that. Because I want to say this. I think that there are moments in my life as a parent of grown children where I'm still capable of being a gospel amnesiac. A moment of anger, a moment of panic. And when I do that, what I'm going to say and do next is not going to be helpful for me or helpful for my child. And so I need constant reminders of who I am and what I've been given so that my heart will be in the right place when God gives me one of those opportunities of grace.
Everything about the Bible is about God's parenting of us.
Mm.
Therefore, as we see how He's parenting us, we should parent our kids. And I just want to read you one of the ways God parents us. He commands us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. Listen to this command, and this is a parenting passage. Listen to this. Therefore, We are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Isn't that what a parent is trying to do?
Hmm.
He's an ambassador on assignment, operating in an embassy of the King of Kings, compelling his children, imploring his children, inviting his children, begging his children to be reconciled to God, be made right with God. Deal with what's taking place in your heart, my son, my daughter. And I got to tell you, what Family Life Today wants to do, we want to be here to help you not lose heart in well-doing. This is a tough assignment, but it's the right assignment, and it is the assignment of the day because we have to be raising the next generation of ambassadors.
Amen. And pray that your heart of anger would be replaced with a heart of remorse, that you'd be broken by the struggle of your children, that you'd walk into that room rather than saying, "How dare you do this to me?" Walk in that room thinking, "My children are lost. They're rebels against God. They're blind to their own hearts. They need help. They need rescue that only God can give, and I want to be part of that." That's remorse.
Well, and here's how you describe ambassadorial parents in your book. You say they have come to accept the humbling messiness of the job God has called them to do, and they understand that if their children grow and mature in life and godliness, they become not so much their trophies, but trophies of the Savior that they have sought to serve. For them, it's God who does the work and God who gets the glory. The parents are just gratified that they were able to be the tools
used
that God. And that's at the heart of what you share in your book, Parenting 14 Gospel Principles That Can Radically Change Your Family. It really overlaps, Dennis, with what you and Barbara have talked about in your book, The Art of Parenting, and the video series that goes with it. We have Paul's book and Dennis and Barbara's book and the video series, all of it available on our website at familylifetoday.com. If it's easier to order by phone, call 1-800-FL-TODAY, 1-800-358-6329. That's 1-800-F as in family, L as in life, and then the word today. By the way, I am really looking forward to being with listeners tonight. We're going to be talking about parenting at Lake Bible Church in the Portland, Oregon area. I'm in Portland for the weekend, speaking at the Weekend to Remember Marriage Getaway this weekend. But tonight, 7 o'clock at Lake Bible Church, we'll talk about parenting. It's a free event open to the public. Love to have you come join us. And if you need more information, get in touch with us here at Family Life Today or talk to my friends at KPDQ Radio. They've got all the information available, and we'll see you tonight at 7 o'clock. You know, as we think about this subject of parenting, we really have to get back to what's the primary objective. And yes, we want our kids to be happy and healthy and be able to live as independent, self-functioning, emotionally stable adults. But at the core of it, what we really want to do is disciple our kids, introduce them to Jesus and disciple them in what it means to be a follower of Jesus. That's the centerpiece of our parenting. At Family Life, that's the centerpiece of all that we do. We want to effectively develop godly marriages and families. We want husbands and wives growing in their relationship with Jesus. And we want kids being brought up, as Ephesians 6 says, in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So these radio programs, the resources we have available online, the events that we host, everything we do at Family Life has that objective in mind. And when you support this ministry, it's that kind of evangelism and discipleship that you are helping to support. You're making it possible for this kind of practical biblical help and hope for marriages and families to be accessed all around the world free of charge by a growing number of listeners, a growing audience of people who are engaged with the resources Family Life is producing. Your partnership makes all that we do possible, and we're grateful for the opportunity to work together here. If you can help with the donation today, we'd like to send you a resource designed with kids in mind. It's called The 12 Names of Christmas, and these are 12 kid-friendly Christmas ornaments, each ornament representing a different title or name for Jesus. The 12 Names of Christmas ornaments are our thank you gift when you make a donation today to support this ministry. You can donate online at familylifetoday.com or call to donate 1-800-FL-TODAY. Again, thanks for partnering with us in the Ministry of Family Life Today. We appreciate your financial support. And we hope you can join us back tomorrow when we're going to talk about the idol of self and how that affects how we parent our children. Paul David Tripp joins us again tomorrow. Hope you can join us as well. I want to thank our engineer today, Keith Lynch, along with our entire broadcast production team. On behalf of our host, Dennis Rainey, I'm Bob Lapine. We'll see you back next time for another edition of Family Life Today. Family Life Today is a production of Family Life of Little Rock, Arkansas, a Crew ministry. Help for today. Hope for tomorrow.